Hey everybody, this is Brandon with the Iowa Healthcare Association, starting our managed care monthly call right now. This is our call with Iowa Total Care, starting at 10:30 on June 10th. Let's check and see if we have any of our individuals from Iowa Total Care on the line with us. I see Jeannie.
Hey, Brandon.
Hey Jeannie, how's it going?
It's going well, thank you.
Good. We have anyone else from Iowa Total Care on the line with us? Jeannie, are you expecting anyone else?
Yeah, I am. Tony will be with me as well as Hillary and David. Hillary's just following up on a meeting, and it looks like she might have just joined us.
Yeah, and David's here now, and Hillary should be just a moment behind me here.
Awesome.
All
Thanks,
right.
David.
Sounds good.
I see
Hillary
Tony
here.
too. Hey, Tony.
Hi, I was double
So the
muted,
gang's all
but
here.
I'm.
We're glad to have you both, all of you.
Thanks, friend.
I had to shut my door. Looks like Hillary's on too. Hey, Hillary.
Yes, I am. Hi.
Welcome. So I think I'm just gonna get this call underway here. Typically, I always start with, some informational letters that have come up over the last, month, I suppose. So I'm gonna start with our first one here. It's 2134. On electronic visit verification stakeholder update, there was a meeting. I'm not sure if this is showing on your guys' screen now or not, but it's regarding EVV and the solution, the MCO EVV solution CareBridge, which was selected. There was a meeting that discussed where this is going to be going in the future. It's effective 1-1 of 21 for specific services that's addressed in the informational letter 2117. I think the main one for our group would be the attendant care services for this rollout. But just wanted to draw your attention to that. This came out. There was a virtual meeting. If there's any EVV questions, those can be directed to the emails that are shown on the screen right here for you. But it's informational letter 2134 for anyone who is interested in seeing that. The next one I wanted to talk about was 2136. This is on HCBS retainer payments. I know that many of you, if you've been on our MC or on our Tuesday COVID calls, would have seen this because this is directly related to the COVID response and the public health emergency. But this is talking about retainer payments that are available for services that were unable to be rendered during the month of April 2020, and it's only for the month of April 2020. It lists out what kind of services would be eligible for mostly for our group. That's obviously going to be mostly elderly waiver. I don't know that we do a lot of adult day, but we do CDAC, the Consumer Directed Attendant Care. So there could be some eligibility for you for HCBS retainer payments within that informational letter. And again, that is 2136. And then the last one that I wanted to talk about here quickly, and I don't know how readily used or how often used this is, but it's the coronavirus testing. It's a new eligibility group created for those people who don't have insurance to allow for some testing for them effective June 1, 2020. It is not for the care of those people, but it is more so for the testing of them, and it's just a coverage group to allow for those services to be covered. So just wanted to point a few of those out to you all as I do normally. We're obviously trying to figure out all this technology with Zoom, and so having that in front of you, I guess, hopefully helps. 2141 information letter is this one. So we'll start again. Thank you to our representatives from Iowa Total Care for joining us today. And if you guys have any opening remarks that you'd like to make, now would be a good time for that if you have any. So go ahead.
Brandon, this is Janie. This was a great segue into our provider alerts. Sometimes we have updates to the IL letters that come out. So if you haven't already, please sign up for our provider alerts on our website. Continue to share the information that our claims team works on diligently every week. Our configuration file is updated each Friday. So if there are any additions, updates, or otherwise, they will find that as well on our configuration file. So, and then, as you know, we have Hillary and David here today to assist with questions from our claims department.
Great. So I will start with a couple, and I do know I did send some of these to you guys ahead of time of some known struggles that some of our providers are having. And the first one I wanted to talk about was I've gotten a lot of feedback from home health agencies when they've been submitting claims. A lot of their services, if not almost all of their services, are being paid between like $8 and $13 per visit. A lot of them, from what I've heard, have hovered around like $12.40 or something like that. Obviously, for these services, even for a home health aid services, that typically sits around $50 a visit, where skilled nursing is between $110 and $125, and then speech, occupational, and physical therapy are all over $140 a visit. And when we're getting between $8 and $13, that's significantly less than what the LUPA rates are for these services. And so I don't know, do you guys know what's going on with that and why this is something that's suddenly started to happen for our home health agency providers?
Yes, this is Hillary. I can speak to this. When we made an update to one of the guides that does the configuration, it was working correctly in our test system. But as it migrated into the production system where the claims were actually hitting that configuration, it was driving them to the wrong fee schedule. We identified it and have already fixed it. So going forward on new claims, you shouldn't see that issue, and we are going back and reprocessing the old claims. This issue was also added to the configuration log last Friday, so you can also see it on the website. But we anticipate the project will close on the 26th and start paying out those claims at the correct rate.
26th of this month then, Hillary?
Yes, correct.
Okay. So just to reiterate for our home health agency providers, new claims going forward, when they're paid, should not be seeing this problem.
Correct.
It has been identified, and on the 26th of June, those will start to reprocess at their corrected amounts, their correct LUPA rate amounts.
Correct.
Yeah. Great. I think we appreciate the identification and resolution to the problem. Obviously, if there's anything that we need to do, please let us know, and we can try to assist in any way that we can to help get some of those corrected and paid. And if you are a home health agency and you are you start to see some claims process in the coming days, or you know, next week or something like that, and they still aren't corrected, please let us know, and we can pass on the information to the team at Iowa Total Care to look at and see what may or may not have been caught in the reconfiguration or the update. Okay, great. I do know that we have had another question. It's about proper billing techniques. And I know we've had some questions on multiple services being provided on the same day and having some denial problems for duplicate claim for the second denial. Can you guys talk about the proper way to submit a claim or with the proper editing or NCCI edits, to, just to make sure that we're doing it correctly to ensure that we can get paid for both services if they're being provided on the same day.
Yeah, so this is Hillary again. We did identify an issue on the nursing facility claim where when a lot of providers bill, like each line is one day. So on those claims, we noticed that some of the date spans were denying after the second line or so. We have submitted a fix for that and are currently testing that to make sure that it's going to work so that you can either bill your nursing facility claims on one line with all of the days, or you can do it on individual lines. So you you will be able to do it either way as soon as that fix goes in without having any issue for duplicate denials. On the home health side, when you're doing some of the services like home care or nursing, our system is set up so that it looks for everything to be billed or all the units to be billed on one line for home health. So even if there's two visits per day, we'd ask that you put the total number of units for that day or that claim on the one service line to avoid any of the NCCI edits in particular. Does that make sense?
Yep, that's exactly what I was talking about. That was new information on the SNF side for sure. Then I was thinking about the home health side with the question, but that's also, that's very helpful too, because I know we have a lot of agencies who will have a home health aide going in the morning and then maybe in the evening as well. And there are some struggles with getting paid for that second one, or insulin was another service that's being provided that is sometimes multiple times per day, that there's also struggles in getting paid for that as well. So,
right. And as long as you put all the units on that one line for that procedure code, you'll be fine. It's when you divide it out into like each visit with the same procedure code that it starts hitting those NCCI edits. So,
okay.
That should solve the problem.
Thanks, Hillary. And then the last question that we had for submitted ahead of time, at least for Iowa Total Care, was, I have heard from several nursing facility providers this month who have submitted their claims and already received denials in high amounts. I know some have received them at 70% of their claims have been denied. And it's for the billing provider or the attending provider not being registered with Iowa DHS or Iowa Medicaid. Is there any color to that as to what's maybe the problem with those claims and what providers need to do?
Yes, so we did fix this issue back in February, but we identified a new issue where that has to do with the way that the file was being loaded into our system, the master provider file that we get daily. So we are correcting that right now. I believe we're on target for the end of June for the configuration to be done. We are trying to catch those on check run before they go out incorrectly, but there's definitely some that have slipped through. We will be going back and doing a project once the configuration is complete to pick all those up and pay those claims out. So it is in the process of being configured, and we will reprocess those claims.
What kind of time frame are you thinking for those claims to be reprocessed then? I mean, obviously, if it's really high denial rates, that's going to be a large chunk of their revenue from Iowa Total Care. And I'm just kind of trying to figure out, you know, how long of a delay there will be for them to be able to get those claims reprocessed.
Right. And we're working with our configuration team to get exact dates on when the configuration will be completed. Typically, when the configuration is done, we pull the project right away and get it submitted, but that's going to take about 3 weeks for that to process. I know there's a high number, so we can look into doing a project before the configuration completes and then one later, and we can update you on that by next week, or by Friday, actually. we'll get a decision on that and get that out to you.
That would be great. I appreciate that.
Yeah, no problem.
One question that came into me through email the other day was this provider has some homemaker claims that they were actually overpaid on between July and November of 19. Are homemaker claims also going to be reprocessed, or should the provider, if they were overpaid for those, should they do a refund, or what's the best way for them to submit back payment or to have that auto recouped, or what's the best way for them to do that?
So you can definitely notify your provider rep, and normally we would send out a recoupment letter as we process those. So we will be looking at those and sending out recoupment letters where you have the normal 30-day dispute time and then 60 days to either send the money back or have it apply to future claims. So, but if you notify your provider rep, then it'll be on our radar a little bit faster. So if you really want to send the money back, then we can try to get those processed faster for you through the recoup process.
Okay. Great. So that's what I had submitted to me ahead of time. I'm going to check out the chat here. I haven't done that yet. You guys maybe have seen it already, but I'm going to pull that up quick here. One person is asking about interest. So if there are claims that have not been, if there are claims that have not been paid or that have taken a long time to pay, is there anything, any interest that's paid on those claims at all?
So there is no interest in the state of Iowa unless it's in your contract. So there is no interest on those claims. No.
Okay. That was my thought as well. I did not see any mention of interest in the managed care agreements between the state and the MCOs. So unless you have that in your individual contract with Iowa Total Care, that would be the only instance in which you would probably get interest paid. When will old claims be paid? The ones that were paid incorrectly from last month? Is there a deadline for ensuring that proper, accurate payment is made to providers? Is one of the questions, I suppose. So is there any kind of timeline in which old claims that have been paid incorrectly need to be paid? I think this is probably referring to maybe old LUPA rate adjustments that providers in many areas saw some kind of an increase. That notice came out around November of 19, went back to July of 19. Any comments on when those should have been paid or reprocessed for providers, or what they should be doing to ensure that they are getting paid accurately for those services?
Yes, yeah, so we submitted that large home health project. It's been about a month ago. You guys should have seen payments for those already, which would be based on the new LUPA rates. And it would go back to July 1st and reprocess all of those. There may be some claims that are still paying out through the payment system for that, but for the most part, they should be reprocessed at this point. All of your rates were updated based on the rates that we received from the state. So everything should be paying the correct rates at this point. And is currently reprocessing the old claims.
If
you haven't received them all.
Yeah, if they haven't,
go ahead.
What would be their best route? Go through their provider rep, or what do you think on that?
Yeah, I would go through your provider rep. They submit questions to us so that we get notified of the issues as well. So we see them right away and then can get a response back to you.
Thanks, Hillary.
Mm-hmm. Brandon.
Yeah, go ahead.
This is Tony. I just wanted to also remind providers that, because we are still receiving questions daily, for providers that are wondering about rates being updated where they billed lower and their rate went up, And I just wanted to send, you know, remind providers that if you bill lower and your rate increased, we will need you to do corrected claims on those.
That's a good point.
Yeah. Like I said, we're still receiving questions about that daily, that providers have been waiting for their claims to reprocess and pay higher, but they bill lower, and those are never going to reprocess to pay higher. So if you bill lower and your rate went up, we do need you to have claims corrections for those.
Good point, Tony. And again, it's lesser of logic as how these claims are reprocessed. So if you billed at what your rate was and it has since gone up, those claims will not be automatically reprocessing. Those will need to be reprocessed. You need to correct your claim and at the updated amount for that you to achieve or receive the difference between the two. This question is in regards to the multiple visits on the same day. How will the system know that multiple visits took place on the same day if they're on the same line for home health? Are you indicating units maybe, or number of units or visits that took place on that day, or how does that work?
Yeah, it would be based on the number of units. So some of the services are like per 15 minutes, or it could be per visit. So you just have to change the count to whatever the number of units or the total number of units is for that day or for that claim.
Okay. This is also on that same topic. Do we want separate days on separate lines itemized, or the first day to service for a service with the units representing how many days we provided the service within that month, like summarized visits? Are you specifically speaking to us? Yeah. You know what they're saying, or no?
Kind of. but I was just going to say that on a UB, there's a date span. So you could bill for one service, you could bill that entire month's units on one line. Because it's going to, I mean, it's within that month-long date span, or however often you bill, whatever that date span is, it would look at the total number for that date span.
That you think that would process properly then, if a provider decided to try that?
Yes, and if it doesn't, definitely let your provider rep know so that we can take a look into it, but it should process correctly.
So if you do want to try that, I would maybe try it on a single person first and just see what it does, or if it does process accurately, instead of switching all your billing over to date span, just in case, I suppose, is how I'm going to phrase that. You just never know.
Yeah. I would say that most providers are billing. So let's say that they are providing a home health service and they go in the morning and they go in the evening. They just bill the one date on one line and say two units of service or three, whatever, however many times that day that they went. And then the next day that they go, they do another line of that date. I would say most providers do it that way. The problem is if you're billing on one line today, you went in the morning. On the second line, you went today again in the evening. That second line denies as a duplicate because of the same date. So it's just basically rolling them up into one line per date. So if you go once, you just put your one unit of service. If you go twice or three times, you just put the number of units that you provided that day. And all of this is built into the care plan, into our care system. So, you know, that's how we check either what's authorized or what is allowable per Medicaid. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, I think so. The next one is, we do have some providers who are seeing some rate adjustments back to July of 19, but some visits that had previously been paid accurately are now getting denied when they're being reprocessed. Are those going to be automatically fixed, or does the provider have to do something to get those paid again at the proper rate?
So we are doing a sweep where we're looking at all of the claims dating back. So if it got reprocessed and denied for some other reason we would be looking at those when we have the project in for the payment error that was the recent, where it was paying about $12 for the claim. So we'll look at all of them at that time and make sure that if any got changed to a denial, that we're looking at those and making sure that they're accurate denials. And if not, we'll reprocess them at the same time. That'll be done on the 26th.
This next one's in regards to that interest rate. If they do have it written into their contract, how do they capture that, any interest that maybe they would be due? Do they just send a bill, or how should that even flow?
So if it is in your contract, we try to build it into the system. We had a bit of an error with interest recently, but we would go back and per your contract, apply that in the system automatically so that you don't have to send us a bill or do anything extra. It just processes automatically with interest.
Okay. And if you maybe are not seeing that process automatically, I'd probably reach out to your rep there as well to ensure that that's included.
Yes, that would be great.
Some providers are having claims that show paid but end up not having a check number or a paid date. Is there any timeline on when those will be processed and paid?
So it sounds like that's a pending claim, so it's showing in the portal that it's going to pay. We are trying to clear all of those out of our system right now and get as many payments out to everyone as possible. We do have to wait for it to load into the check run system, which we load new claims every night. So as soon as they're in there, we can push them out the door. So you should be seeing payments on those probably within the next week or two as soon as they load into the check run system.
How long should a claim be sitting without a check number or pay date?
Typically, you would see your total claim paid out to you with check number from the time we received it until the time it paid out within anywhere from 15 to 30 days. But there are some, like, for example, the rendering provider or billing provider not registered with the state, if that ends up on one of those claim lines, then we hold it to be reprocessed and override that denial when we see it. So that can hold up some of your payments on occasion if it's in a paid status, because we have to hold the entire claim. So there's some issues like that that can hold up your claims a little bit, but we're trying to push all of those out of the system right now and get the number of things we're holding down so that you guys are all receiving payments faster.
Yeah. What would be a recommended time frame? Like if they see a claim sitting just without a check number or a paid date for X number of days, when should they make an outreach to have someone take a look at that?
So we're still trying to get all of your payments out within the 30 days. If it goes beyond that 30 days and it's been in that pen status, I would let your provider rep know. We try to get through the oldest claims first just to get them out so that you get paid for them. But we are trying to get them out within those 30 days. So if it's after those 30 days, I would just let your provider rep know.
Great. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Looks like the next one is about if a provider is submitting corrected claims at higher rates or increased rates, some of them are getting denied for timely filing. If they've reached out to their reps, what kind of turnaround time should they expect for those to be reprocessed once the rep has been notified?
So we are looking into the timely filing on the corrected claims as a system issue, because I have seen it a couple of times. It doesn't happen on all of them. But typically once you notify your rep, it can take 30 to 45 days for the claims to be reprocessed, depending on how long it took us to research the issue and submit the configuration fix. But in this case, because it's a corrected claim and it's a timely filing issue, when we had extended the timely filing date for a certain time period, we are working on reprocessing these and also catching any that come in on the check run process.
Okay. So, and I think even if the timely filing deadline had not been extended for some of these claims back to July 1st, they should still have 365 to make a correction. And
right.
We wouldn't be there yet, I wouldn't think. We probably would never submitted claims until August or July 19 dates of service. So.
Right, and we did notice a couple that had timely filing denials on them, so we're trying to figure out what is happening with the configuration and get that adjusted so that they have that year time frame to submit their corrected claim.
Reading through the questions here. How would you apply for an authorization if all the services are billed on one line? Would that really change your authorization request then?
No, they auth by total number of units or by service. So it shouldn't affect your authorization at all.
This is a question on electronic submission. Are we now able to send adjusted claims electronically as a 217 bill type for incorrect private portions being deducted?
I believe that you are able to do it through the portal. I think you can do it through the portal. I'm not sure if you have like a third party that bills for you, if they would be able to do it, but definitely in the portal, they can do the corrected claims with the 7 at the end of the bill type.
Thank you. This person has some overpayment determination letters from overpaid homemaker and CDAC. They agree with the determination, and the letter states that they can be recouped after 60 working days, but they have not seen them be recouped yet. Is there any time frame when they would expect or can expect that to happen?
Yes, when there's a dispute on a project, it pushes back the project a little bit until those disputes are taken care of, whether it's your dispute or someone else on the project. It should be happening any day now, as I believe we just got through all of the disputes. So they will start recouping that money anytime now.
Okay. And then this is a follow-up to that question about how do you apply the authorization. I think they're talking about most of the times the auths are submitted by the CERT period, so the 60-day time frame that the care is being provided within the certification period, not by the month. So there are instances where we would have split months for people. So how would you apply the authorization to the claim if you do not know what dates the services were provided?
So that one, as long as there's an authorization in the system, whether you put the authorization number on the claim or not, it'll pick that up and be able to send that claim through without having an authorization denial. So it shouldn't be an issue on our end. As long as there wasn't a gap between the authorizations, then it could cause some issue with an authorization denial.
Yeah. Do you think instead of putting it in for the entire month for all the services being provided, would it make sense to split up the dates to match the auth? So if you have an auth that runs through the 15th, do your services through the 15th, and then have the second one start on the 16th through the 30th?
Yeah, you could definitely do that as well. That's probably the safest bet, just to make sure there was no gap. But you should be able to do it the other way as also, because the authorization should line up with one another. But you can definitely split the bills into two spans or two different claims so that it lines up with those authorizations.
This next question is, how long do we have to dispute the overpayment letters that were sent in the middle of May? It says 30 days, but this provider was hoping that they would have been extended, especially since the letters dated on the 11th had to be resent about a week later. I think this is maybe in regards to, it was saying that additional documentation had been provided, and I don't know if it was on that first letter. Does that make sense?
Yes, I'm going to have to check on that one because I am not sure. Tony or Jeannie, have you guys heard anything on that? It might be something we have to take back and check on and get you an answer for.
Yeah. I know that there was an issue of project letters being sent out that did not include the claims. And so then additional letters were sent out the following week. I'm assuming that's what this is talking about. And at that point, the date would be extended from that date, the newest letter.
Okay.
Yep.
That's all that's really in the chat right now. I don't think I see anything else in my inbox about it. One other question I suppose would be Medicare coinsurance claims being processed. They're not seeing any, this provider's not seeing any crossover claim remits, whether denied or paid. They're just not seeing any at all. What's the best way to get some of those Medicare co claims processed?
In that case, it would be good to get some claim examples from you so that we can take a look at those and see what's happening specifically. And then if we identify an issue, we'll of course put it on the configuration log and let you guys know.
Okay.
I think those specific claim examples would definitely help.
Okay. The last one is a comment on provider reps and not receiving responses to claim issues timely. What's the best route or what should a provider do if they're having issues getting a response from their provider rep?
So on the claim side, the provider reps send claims the question. It does sometimes take some time for us to research it and get back to the provider rep to get you an answer back. So on the claim side, I know that it does take a little bit of time to get those answers back. On the provider relations side, I'll let Jeannie and Tony speak.
Yes, on I was going to say the second page has the contact information for leadership. So if you are not hearing back from your provider relations specialist in a timely manner, please reach out to the leadership and we can address that. If it's a matter of the claim situation being corrected, that's something we need to work with our claims team. If the provider rep is not getting back to you, please reach out to leadership.
Brandon, my expectation is for the field staff to get back to providers within 48 business hours, whether it be a phone call or email. So if the initial reach to our provider relations representatives is longer than 48 business hours, minus any holidays and weekends, of course, then that's something that we need to know about. And please contact me and let me know about that.
Okay. So as they mentioned, that if you are having problems receiving responses back, Tony mentioned that there is a contact page for leadership that you can make an outreach to. And I think she just put that link into the chat. So thanks for that, Tony, if you are having problems.
Additionally, Brandon, to tag on to what Hillary indicated, we do get back to providers once the claim information, say, for example, someone inquired regarding a claim inquiry, and that is sent internally to a SharePoint. And then once we get that response, the expectation is that the rep will reach out within 24 to 48 hours as well. So they can certainly contact us to let us know if they're not hearing back, but it may be a situation, like we said, that we are awaiting the information from the claims department.
Great. Thank you for that.
Sure.
I I think that's what I'm seeing as far as questions in the chat and questions received via email. So I suppose that we can wrap this call. I appreciate your guys' time. We will be having Amerigroup with us at 11:30 here. So I will end this recording here, probably just mute the call and then wait until we have Amerigroup here shortly. So I appreciate all of you for joining. Thanks, Hillary, Jeannie, Tony, and David for being on the call with us today. And as always, if you have questions for Iowa Total Care, please, and for the call, send those to me ahead of time so we can make sure we get them on the call before the Q&A session. And that would be great. So again, thank you for joining us, and we'll start our 11:30 call with Amerigroup at 11:30. So thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.